Let's open our Bibles tonight. For starters, this winds up being a little more of a Bible study maybe than some of the Sunday nights we have, but John 13 to begin things. John 13 and 2 Corinthians chapter 3. John 13 John 13 first, John 13, 35. You can probably cite this from memory. Lord is going to give the disciples a new commandment from verse 34. He says in verse 35, by this shall all men know. Now notice all men, right? Shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Now flipping on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You'll notice verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Then he says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. So Lord, once again, we come back to you. Good to be here tonight and glad to gather once again, as is our habit. And Lord, it's just good to come and be preached at. It's good to come and preach. It's good to be in a place where the Word of God seems to pervade and sanctify what we do and think and all that we try to endeavor here, Father, just to glorify Thee. I pray You'd help somebody be helped. May we be reminded about something tonight. It's really easy to get off balance in the Christian life. And we are just once in a while to be reminded of what the other side of the blade is, and what the back side of the sword is. And so I pray You'd help us with that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, just for a moment, kind of disregard the text. I'll get back to them in just a second. There's a oft-reiterated precept here that we talk about a lot. And most folks here know that a Christian is called into a warfare. We're called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith, that we're called to war a good warfare. We're called to endure hardness. So Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. So suffice to say, that points to the fact that the Christian life is, in general, a fight. It's going to be a fight every day at some level, right? Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's a spiritual warfare, but it's still a fight. Now, by nature, if it's a fight from the first moment we wake up in the morning to when we go to bed at night, if it's a fight, then that places us kind of on a military, combative, kind of an adversarial footing with things. You know, we preached this morning about Sodom and what happens when Sodom chooses you. And the idea was you need to get up in the morning and put on the whole armor of God and be ready for a fight, right? You have to be vigilant. You have to be sober and all those things. You have the world, the flesh, and the devil working at you at all times. And so put on the whole armor of God and then go out and be on a... that leaves us living on something of an oppositional, an antagonistic footing with a lot of things in this world every day. You have to be kind of antagonistic with yourself, look in the mirror in the morning, and that's the guy in there that's causing most all of your problems. You. And so you have to even look at yourself that way that, you know, I don't trust you. And you shouldn't. And that sounds a little wacky, I suppose, to, you know, philosophical, humanistic liberals. But nevertheless, you're the worst problem that you've got. But the point is that we're automatically, by virtue of the fact that we're called to war, a good warfare, and this Christian life is a warfare, it puts us on an oppositional footing, an antagonistic position for a lot of things that we go in. That this is really what the high calling of God is in many respects. We're called to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle. We fight. That's the calling of the Christian. And so that's stated, and there's a very good reason it's called a fight. And Today, as most of you know, it's harder and harder to find someone. It's more and more rare to find those who are really willing to fight this warfare. And so the Bible stance is pretty much oppositional to the commie libs. The Bible is not pacifistic. It's aggressive, right? And so, again, that puts us kind of automatically on, we're ready to fight any time, buddy, kind of like that. That said, it is also, and again, kind of as the other side of the blade from what was said this morning, just a recognition there needs to be a balance. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Our generation needs more sandpaper. After the election on Tuesday, apparently in the next days to come, there were colleges, Harvard University among them, there were colleges that were bringing in support goats and support animals and psychologists to help their students through this traumatic time of having Donald Trump elected president. Now, what somebody needs is some sandpaper. Nobody needs a facial tissue. Everybody needs some sandpaper to rub some skin off. You need to toughen up, buddy. Quit being a stinking panty waste. It is ridiculous. Wimp City. Snowflakeville. I mean, it's ridiculous. Okay, so that said, that stated, that position pinned down. It is also important to realize there's a balance that has to be struck. This is a reminder tonight that though it is a warfare, we're actually not supposed to be all teeth and claws and porcupine quills all the time, right? You're called to do more than scrap and fight and snarl and growl and bite everybody that shows up. And I'd just like to talk to you for a little while about something you find in the two passages that we read. By this shall notice all men know that you're my disciples if you have love for one for another. And then, because I didn't memorize it, the 2 Corinthians passage in chapter 3, verse 2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read. It says of all men, and I'm keying on the all men thing tonight for a little while. This will not be exhaustive by any stretch, because there's other wording that you could probably find to this end. But the text proclaim that there is a power in having a testimony, that men should be able to look, lost men should be able to look at you and see a testimony. And that being the case, I'd like to highlight some things in passing tonight. Title of this message is My Duty to All Men. My Duty to All Men. There's a reason that I have a duty to all men. First of all, just real quick here, and then we'll get started. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. All men shall know we are His disciples if we have love one toward another. And that 2 Corinthians passage, we are known and read of all men. So whether you like it or not, men look upon you and they read your testimony like a book. And they need to know by that testimony that you're a Christian. They need to. And I'm all for standing on the straight and preaching. I'm all for being a dispensational Bible-believing Bible thumper. I'm all for it. But it needs to be more than just a public display. It needs to be a life lived. And so let me key on all men, and I'll do that when I finish reading you 1 Timothy chapter 2. And notice verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. He wants all men to be saved. So I am keying on all men, and I'm acknowledging and will continue to forcefully preach it, that we should be militant, offensive in the sense of being on the offense instead of the defense. But it is an antagonistic position that we live in. the world's against us, the devil's against us, and we fight against ourselves. I'm talking about the flesh and spirit. But at the same time, there is a balance to this, and I'd like to show you some things. And I'd like to just preach to you, and this will be relatively brief in each point because I have several points, like 78. So it's going to take a while, but I'll try to be brief. No, I'm just kidding. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I have a duty to all men, and the duties I'll be highlighting are not conflicting with being a good soldier for Jesus Christ, but it does show that you're more than a snarling dog. Romans chapter 12, if you will, go on down to verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. I don't know how to do that except to have a Bible and to agree with the Bible, and so that's how we think, right? Mind not high things, but can condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, all plainly good advice. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Not just honest in the sight of Christians, but honest in the sight of all men. Because we are known and read of all men. Your testimony as a Christian is read daily by how you do some things. So I'd like to begin by saying in verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. One of my duties to all men is honesty. You'd think a Christian should be honest. We have lots of things to warn us. We're called to be circumspect, walking circumspectly. We're called to let no man deceive you by any means, to beware of men, be sober, be vigilant, etc., etc. There's plenty of warnings about being careful with men because there's a bunch of men that will take you for a ride. At the same time, this passage says that I have a duty to provide things honest in the sight of all men. You need to be honest. A Christian should be honest. A Christian should be honest with saved people. But a Christian should also be honest with lost people. I think you should just, you know, let's just consider this, you know, that we should, in case it didn't, the lesson didn't get across, we're supposed to be honest as Christians with everybody that we meet. Honest before God. Honest before other believers. Honest before lost people. You ought to give your boss an honest day's work. You ought to be honest when you mess up and it's your fault. And he says, who did it? Well, I did it. I'll be honest about it, right? You should be honest. Do what you say you'll do. Be honest. Tell the truth. Be honest. Let your kids see that you and your wife have an honest, open relationship together because they're looking at their mother and father. Does that make sense? All men should, every lost guy has a right to see a Christian live a certain way. He should be able to look at a Christian's life and see that Christian is honest. Honest in his dealings, honest in his words, honest in his heart, honest in his conversation, honest in all that he does. You just should be honest. I have a duty, you'll notice, to all men, but honest, provide things honest in the sight of all men, every single one of them. Not just the elect, but every single one of them. Nobody's saying amen. I don't know. Okay, that was enthusiastic. I have one lady that says amen. Okay, let's look at one more here. Look in Romans 12, since we're nearby, Romans 12, 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I can tell you, you're probably not going to have 100% success rate with that. But you're called, as much as in you is, to live peaceably with all men. Now, you know the reality of it. We're aggressive Bible believers. We have signs on in our front yards, and we have stickers on our car, and we go confront people in public and hand them that awful gospel literature. And sometimes we even yell at them on the street. So you have to understand that your Christianity, your Bible, your witness, and frankly, your testimony will rub some the wrong way. Now, we all understand that, right? We expect that. That's a reproach that comes from Christ. Yet at the same time, in as far in so much as in you is, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You shouldn't be offensophobic. That is that you're scared to death of offending some lost guy by preaching the gospel to him. You should not be offensophobic. Agreed? But you should also not be an offensophile. That you just love offending people. We don't need any more Christians with chips on their shoulders. Okay? And that's what I'm simply saying, to live as much as in you is, to live peaceably with all men. You don't wish to unnecessarily offend somebody. You don't want to conduct yourself in a way that the offense of the cross is ceased. I'm called in Galatians to, if they're going to be offended, I want them to be offended by the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ is the one big dividing line. Those on this side of the line are lost, and those on that side of the line are saved. And if you're not on the right side of the line, you're lost. And that's the great divide. But if they're going to be offended by my Savior and by the cross of my Savior, whether, you know, when I'm preaching on the street or when you're handing out tracts in public or when you're knocking doors or whatever, if they're mad at your sign that you have on your car, your sticker or whatever, that's one thing. But for you to offend them and they're not offended at the cross, they're just offended at you because of the way you act, perhaps because of your dishonesty, because of some other things that we'll discuss later. Within bounds, all men should be able to employ you and have a good employee. Live next to you and have a good neighbor who's not always sending their dog across the fence to poop in their yard. And when he comes and complains, you get in his face and tell him to go, stuff it. And there's your scripture sign on your car. I'm simply saying, this is simple stuff. One thing that all men deserve, what all lost men deserve to see in Christians, is that as much as in us is, we will endeavor to be good neighbors, good employees, good employers, good friends as far as we can walk with that. And that if they ever need something as a neighbor, they can come to me and borrow my ladder or my leaf blower. Right? To live peaceably with all men. Every lost soul should know a Christian, that when they look at them, they know that person lives like a Christian, and that Christian will endeavor as best he can, you know, outside the bounds of the gospel, outside of making sure you witness to him and get the gospel to him, that he's going to do all he can to get along with me. You can do that with your Catholic neighbor. And presumably, theoretically, you can do that with your Muslim neighbor. My duty to all men. Let me take you and show you another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. My duty to all men, lost or saved, either, and both, is first of all, honesty. Secondly, it's to live peaceably. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, go down to verse 20. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Now Paul, he went a little far when he's willing to cleanse himself after the manner of the Jews and separate himself and shave his head and stuff and try to satisfy the Jews. That's going a little far. But he says, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things, and you'll notice, to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, there's a balance here, like I said, in the book of Acts. Paul Paul went a little far and going in and cleansing himself after the manner of the law. He's already a Christian. He's already the apostle of the Gentiles. And he goes in and basically caters to the Jews who, by the way, after going through all that, they wouldn't listen to him. They wanted to kill him, right? Now, he probably went too far with that. As you'll recall, he did circumcise Timothy for the Jews' sake, but the other guy, he refused to circumcise him. I guess he learned a lesson. So what's the point? Well, the point is, verse 22 does say, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Now, that, ladies and gentlemen, does not include going and getting drunk with somebody so you can win them to Christ. That does not include joining the monastery so that you can win Catholic priests to the Lord. That's going too far. But at the same time, I'd like to just say, while there are clearly limits, you do need to be able to relate to people. And you know, if it's so worldly as being able to sit down and talk a little football and able to, and so that you can kind of work in the gospel in there somewhere, that's not the end of the world. That sounds to me like a good ambassador. It's a matter of discussing and knowing a little bit of politics so that you can hopefully look for an opening as you talk to somebody. That's certainly reasonable. He said, I am made all things, again, within reason, to all men that by, I lost track of exactly, that by, I might by all means save some. Paul said in verse 22, to the weak became I as weak. Well, sometimes, that is, by the way, sometimes what the Lord does for you. It's not about you making yourself that way. Sometimes He makes you that way. See, I had a stroke when I was 49 years old. And I think the Lord gave me that so I could relate to people that were sick. Because I had all those years, you know, gone to hospitals and sat and held somebody's hand, shook somebody's hand, and they're real sick. And I said, well, you just got to recover. You got to gut it up. You know, you got to pick yourself up and work to recover. So one day the Lord says, okay, now you get to do that. So I'll tell you today, if you have a stroke, you need to come back at it hard. You need to push against your limitations hard. Push them all the time, and you can drive most of it back. Okay? But He gave me that experience so that I could relate to people. In that regard, sometimes God made me something to someone that I wasn't before. Because I've lain in a bed and couldn't lift my left hand and couldn't move my left leg. I had to learn to walk again. I still have to be careful about how long I go without sleep. I made all things to all men. God did that for me. I learned that both my mother and my father died of cancer when they were young. I'm 63. Dad died at 53. Mom died at 48. I got to watch them both die slow, painful, chemical-induced deaths. And the Lord did that for me so that I can go in and minister to somebody who's going through something like that or knows somebody going through something like that. I am made all things to all men. A lost guy has a right to read your testimony. Maybe not every single one of us, but at least in different ways, to be able to read the testimony of a Christian and see in the testimony of that Christian that that Christian's been through something that he's going through. I am made all things to all men. Look, if you will, at something else. Look at Galatians chapter 6. My duty to all men includes honesty. It includes to live peaceably as much as I can with all men. To be made all things to all men. Look in Galatians chapter 6 and notice what it says here. Galatians 6 verse 10. As we there have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Oh boy. I hate those humanistic liberal passages. A lost guy should be able to expect to see a Christian do good. And I am called, my duty to all men is to do good to all men. We're not do-gooders in the liberal, humanistic sort of way that most law people think of. I'll admit something to you. You can think ill of me if you want. I'm not green at all. I don't recycle. I won't recycle. If they make it a law and they're going to fine me for not recycling, then I'll recycle. Otherwise, I'm going to burn plastic and it's recycled into the air in black smoke. I'm just telling you. So in that regard, we're not do-gooders. I'm not going to protest inhumane treatment of turkey farms or pig farms or slaughterhouses. The cattle and the turkeys and the pigs are raised to be killed and eaten. There's nothing inhumane about it. That's why they were born. That's why I fed them. That's why I shot them, gutted them, and skinned them. I don't feel bad about it. And I'm not apologizing. I know that drives some people crazy. I totally get it. I don't give to charities. I don't. I give to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And the money goes out to missionaries and, you know, other things, but I don't. The Red Cross calls, nope, forget it. And people sometimes call pretending to be policemen that are asking for money, and nope, I ain't doing it. I support the cops, I love the cops, but no, I'm not giving you my money. I'm giving my money to Blessed Hope. Right? So, like I said, you can think ill of me if you want, but I tell you what, helping a neighbor who needs some help is doing good in the right way. You know, visiting a nursing home and walking in, and I'll say it here, hope nobody gets it in a nursing home, but walking in that depressing place where I could conceivably wind up in some certain number of years, and I'm sorry. They all strike me as a place to go and die. I'm sorry. Last stop, right? And for you to go in there and to provide a little light and a little comfort is a really good thing. And so Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity. You have any opportunities for this? I mean, taking a meal to somebody who's decrepit and old and sick, and, you know, somebody you don't know that well, somebody that's a neighbor, but you know that you saw the ambulance there this week, and, you know, you saw them come back, and they're incapacitated and 90 years old. You know what I'm saying? As you have opportunity, it says, let us do good unto all men. Because all men, the Lord would have all men to be saved. Right? And all men read. Our epistle is us, and those all men read that epistle. All of us have a testimony of one sort or another. And part of your portfolio should be doing good. Amen? Good. All men need to see a genuine Bible-thumping, dispensational, straight-preaching Christian doing good. And I don't mean just mean standing out there, just standing out there, but as far as on a human level, me to somebody else, doing good. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. There are 11 of these. And I don't think for a moment that it's all exhausted. Again, I'm tracking this through the phrase, all men. My duty to all men, honesty to live peaceably, to be made all things to them all, to do good. Philippians chapter 4, go down to verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. Let your moderation be known to everybody. Let Christians see it. By all means, let your children see it. But also let your lost relatives see it too. Let them know that you are temperate in all things, that there's a balance, that there's a moderation. It's not the end of the world if you're sick on Easter and miss church. It's not the end of the world because it shouldn't be a ritual. But do they see you go to church when you're healthy on a regular basis? I remember in our neighborhood over here on Magnolia when we lived down here, that we lived in the end of a cul-de-sac. And so we had neighbors, and they were always on Sundays out in the yard doing stuff during the summer and all that stuff. And there were literally, there were times that they would see us leave for church in the morning, come home, and then they would see us go back and leave for church again on Sunday night. And there were times that I caught them standing in the yard doing one of these as we went by. They looked at us like we were Boggy Creek monsters or something. All the way across. But they saw our life, and the life was moderate. We weren't crackpots. Didn't have a still in the backyard. Let your moderation be known unto all men. You're supposed to be balanced. I'll just go on. But every man has a right. He ought to be able to look around and find a Christian that's living a moderate life. Every single one. Men, do your neighbors know? Do your neighbors see moderation in you? Look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. All right, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, towards Christians, and toward all men, even those that are not Christians. Right? Am I wrong? Okay, well, here's the deal. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, right? We know it's true. God loved the world enough in its fallen state to send His Son to die for lost sinners. And God commendeth His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, we were still the enemies of God. We were still the devil's children. The Lord still sent His Son, commended His love to us, so that we could be saved, right? He loved us that way. In the same voice, in the same time, Psalms 5, I forget which one it is. Let me just go back there. I'll read it to you. You'll be able to acknowledge it. Psalms 5 says this. Some of you may not be aware it says that. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, God's sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. God hates workers of iniquity. Psalms 11, I'll read that one now, 11:5. That was 5:5, this is 11:5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God can commend his love to us by having his son die for us at the same time that we are under the wrath of God and he hates us. Okay? Because the love of God is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. God so loved the world, but it's false to say that God loves you. If they're not saved, because they're not in the love of God. The love's been commended. God loved them enough to send his son to die for them, but they're not in the love of God. So in that regard, it's, you know, God sends people to hell because they're still his enemy. They're still a child of the devil, and he hates them. Now, I say that to clear the way here. I find no verse in the Bible that you are excused from loving all men. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says you get to hate somebody's guts. It says here, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. You say, why would it be that way? That seems hypocritical. Well, because you're not God. You're not holy. And you should be able to love all sinners because you were a dirty, stinking sinner. You were one of them. And you're not all that better now. When it gets right down to it, you're only made better because you have a standing with God. God commended his righteousness to you. My point is, my duty to all men is to love them. All men. And that's hard to swallow. Because there's a lot of men that aren't lovable. But I have a duty. I have a duty because they're lost souls going to hell because somebody bothered to come and tell me. Right? Let me show you something else. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 14. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Even somebody going 45 in the left lane. Like I said, this not all this much fun in this, but to be patient to all men. I, you know, sometimes you get in a position, you go to the DMV, and there are seven people behind the counter, and nobody's dealing with anybody. There are no customers being dealt with. They all are sitting with their heads buried in their computers, as far as I can tell, doing nothing. It's hard for me to be patient there. It's hard to take. My wife and I, we were, a couple years ago, we went to, I flew down to Brother Marshall's church to preach for Brother Marshall down near Atlanta, Georgia. And we flew Spirit Airlines. Oh boy. I learned you can fly Spirit if you're the first flight of the day. It's a direct flight. But if you have a connection, don't do Spirit. So we flew from Atlanta, and I forget where we had to go, but somewhere down there, one of those, you know, places you stop through and get the real hub and all that stuff. Anyway, there was a big thunderstorm/tornado or something that came through. And Spirit is shut down. Their planes are late. Their planes are behind schedule and all that. And, of course, they only have four planes in their whole repertoire. And so we spend an extra night in Atlanta and still wind up, you know, another day or whatever. And so we're standing here with all the flights canceled and stuff, and, you know, Spirit's there, all the people, you know, you go into the customer service line, and it's just, you know, it's the cattle chute all the way up there. And all the Spirit Airlines people are standing behind the service counter, and they're all just talking to each other. They're always looking at one screen going, there's seven of them. Hey, stupid, wait on me. Let us see some progress here. I have a hard time being patient with that. The Bible says that a lost guy has a right to read your testimony and find patience there towards somebody that needs it. I'm just saying. While we're nearby, this is not an all men verse, but if you'll look in verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. It doesn't say all men, but see that no man render evil to evil for any man. I have had thoughts in these last 4 years that I would like to take a lead rod to certain people in the government's knees. I have had thoughts of how satisfying that would be, because they're malevolent, idiotic fools. I didn't say it's right. I just said once or twice or more, I thought it. And I would never do it. But the Bible says that you need to see to it that you don't render evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll do the repaying. You sit down and keep your mouth shut. Keep your fists to yourself. Your bricks and your baseball bat. You keep those to yourself. Know what I'm saying? All right, I got to go on. That was kind of an aside. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. I'm almost done. There are 11 of these that are quoted, cited quite this way. And they shake my world enough that I'm not sure I want to go find the rest of them. Know what I'm saying? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. If Bryce were here, he would be up here right after the sermon. Right in my face. Because I don't know how I can do that. I just don't understand. Can you see Bryce there? Yeah. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I just don't understand. How anybody could pray for Obama. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. I'm sure glad that it didn't happen. What could have happened? It makes this easier to swallow. This is going to be hard. I'm not trying to make a political show here. It's going to be hard. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But you're called to pray for all men. Now, I know that you can't pray for 8 billion people daily, right? But everybody here probably has a prayer list at some level, and we all fail at prayer and some things. But you ought to be praying for all men. All men that come across your prayer list, all these prayer requests here, you need to make it a point to pray for all men, okay? I have trouble sometimes praying for unspoken requests. I'll just say that. I don't mean one or two, but when we have 15 on one prayer list, it's like, would somebody please tell me what to pray for? Because it begins to add up after a while. I'm just saying. Don't be offended. I'm just saying. If you can tell us what to pray for, that would be good, without revealing intimate secrets. Because having 8 unspoken requests, how incisively and sincerely can I pray about that? I'm not trying to be sassy. I just thought I'd say something. If you could just bring me something to pray for, instead of, I have 8. What are they? I'm just saying. Look in 2 Timothy 2. My duty to all men is honesty, to live peaceably with them as much as I can, to be made all things, to do good, to be moderate, to love them, to be patient, not rendering evil for evil, praying for them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Let's start with verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Now there's a legitimate strife, but striving that way, just argumentation, is not the idea. For the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Another one. Gentle to all men. Titus. Well, while we're there, before you go there, in meekness, verse 24. Servant of the Lord must not strive, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those. Look in Titus 3, page over. Titus 3 and verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men. Okay? Gentleness and meekness. I know sometimes that, you know, there's conflict and all those things, but every lost guy should get to see something besides a fire-breathing... Every lost guy should get a chance to see a little bit of the gentleness and meekness of the shepherd that came to save you. Okay? And men test your patience. They test, you know, the limits of how gentle you can be. But every lost guy has a right to see that. I want to show you one more and then we're done. Look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. I need the verse that I think I wrote something down wrong. Honor all men. Where's that at? First Peter. Oh, I was in 1:17. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay. Honor all men. Verse 17. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. But it says honor all men. Okay. So I know there are limits. Okay. A purple-haired girl that used to be a guy. I don't have a brickbat. I'm not going to beat him up. I'm not going to shoot him. But I'm not going to bow down. Just saying. Okay? But within bounds, Jesus Christ treated a Syrophoenician woman with respect and honor. He treated a woman at the well who was effectively a harlot with honor and respect. The woman taken in the very act of adultery. There was no argument that she was actually caught at it. The whole issue was whether, where's the guy? But he treated her with honor and respect. I know there are now weirdos that come up and, you know, spit in people's faces and do all sorts of malevolent, wicked stuff. And, okay, enough's enough, right? But in so much as in you is, you should follow your Savior's footsteps. And you don't agree with them. But don't forget, there was a guy one time that walked in a jail and preached to a reprobate biker. And that reprobate biker was David Spurgeon. Got right with God and is preaching the gospel today. And I can't help but think if the preacher had gone in there and stood at the cell door and treated Spurgeon like a dirtbag, I wonder how that would have gone. And I wonder if Brother Spurgeon would be where he is today. You know, there was a preacher that went into the radio station one time way back in the 40s and, stuck his head in. He'd done his radio show, stuck his head in, said something to the DJ there. That DJ's name was Peter Ruckman. And he was an old soldier, kind of a dirtbag dude. What nobody knew was that he was brilliant, who's going to have a more effect perhaps on this generation of Christians than a whole lot of people know. And the preacher stuck his head in and said a few words about the Lord Jesus Christ. From that point, Peter Ruckman went and got a Bible and read it and got saved. And so you need to be conscious that you need to honor all men. As much as in you is, as much as they will allow you. Now, if somebody comes up, vomiting on you to try to run you off and just to be contrary, okay, there's a limit, okay? But as much as in you is, you can still honor all men. That is our duty to all men, as best as I can see, and I'm sure that that's not exhaustive. How are you doing? All I know is that every lost guy should see these traits in us. And preferably every day. Well, you're going to struggle with that, right? But that's our duty to all men. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, are you...